know you can't meditate. If you a freak, then you come on with me. And I know what you came here to do. Now, let me see you get loose. It's going down for real.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Happy Friday. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, the kid with you here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. Gentlemen, what's going on?
Nada. I'm happy that it's Friday. My son's birthday is tomorrow.
Tomorrow? How old?
So I'm excited. He'll be 7, and we're doing his party at Sky Zone in Westlake.
That's your place.
That's my place. That's my spot. That's what he wants. My daughter's asking for another Disney birthday in July. And I'm like, girlfriend, you better pick like Chuck E. Cheese or something.
Or Sky Zone.
Yeah, something. I'm not getting on a plane for your birthday again.
No, that was very nice of you the first time. What's up, the kid?
Not much. It feels like spring is coming. Even though it's cold today, I feel spring in the air. Get those golf clubs ready, folks.
Let's play a little small ball. We certainly look forward to that. Some news from around the National Football League will kick things off today, but before we do that, we're going to go through and let you know what's coming up. Jeremy Fowler, Browns beat writer for ESPN.com, will be with us at 2 p.m. Eastern. We got the Friday forecast brought to you by Wilberts. That'll be your way at 2:30. And we're just going to get through because free agency, now officially deals can start on Tuesday, but we all know deals will start getting done Sunday when the free agency window opens. Teams can begin negotiating. So today on this Friday, we want to talk about a couple of things. Number one, the Browns' 6 unrestricted free agents, the big ones. Who do you want back? Who do you think will be back? And the big 6 I'm talking about, Buster Skrine, Jabal Sheard, Jordan Cameron, Ataba Rubin, Brian Hoyer, Miles Austin. Of those 6 guys, who do you think will be back for the Cleveland Browns in 2015? Who would you like to see them bring back from those unrestricted free agents? There's also Tashawn Gibson. He's a restricted free agent. We'll find out what his tender is shortly, but I think that's a deal that the Browns aggressively want to get done with their free safety, and I think he'll be locked up to a long-term deal sooner rather than later. Now, and you look at this, again, for that, that's one piece of it. The other piece, what are your top free agent targets for the Browns? Tweet us at Browns_daily, at Nathan Zagura, at Matt Wilhelm 35, at DaKid97, that's DAKID97, for those of you who don't know. If you don't know, now you know. So we'll talk about all of those things. Let's start with one last piece of Browns news. We'll kick things off with that. Brian Hoyer saying his goodbyes, kind of making it official. We knew it was happening, but making it official, telling USA Today's Jim Corbett on Thursday, quote, good for both sides to get a fresh start and go our separate ways. Being from here, I'll always root for the Browns. I know I'm going to be continuing my football career somewhere. He said, I'm looking forward to us helping whatever team get better and go to the playoffs. If you're in the right situation, believe in yourself. Nothing will hold you back.
I don't necessarily know if Brian Hoyer is going to be going to a team that is in the playoff hunt.
Let me just stop that sentence about halfway through. I don't know that Brian Hoyer is going to be going to a team.
Yes, he is. He's going to see, yeah, absolutely. There's no chance he doesn't go to a team. No chance. But we did hear from Mike Garofalo. We heard from Vic Carucci yesterday that he's probably going to go somewhere as a backup. I think that chances to maybe start still Tennessee, compete with Zach Mettenberger.
New York Jets.
The Jets now, who just got, and we'll talk about that, Brandon Marshall in a trade today. They've got Geno Smith, who actually played very well at the end of last season. Still could be a team that goes for Marcus Mariota. I think the good news is it takes the Jets out of drafting a wide receiver. That's probably not going to be on their radar, which could help a receiver get down to number 12 for the Cleveland Browns. A lot of people now, again, it started yesterday, and you start to see more of it, linking Brian Hoyer to Minnesota to back up Theodore Bridgewater, be reunited with Norv Turner there.
The only thing is,
that's a playoff team with Theodore.
Yeah, with him as the backup. I mean, he can
Theodore.
But that's what he is a backup quarterback. And if he realizes that, he can be a very successful, good backup.
Make a lot of money.
But he just has to realize that's his lot in life.
He does. And a lot of the reason why he left Cleveland and his statements throughout last football season was an opportunity to go somewhere, contribute, and start. He won't have an opportunity to compete in Minnesota.
No.
He's got to accept that role.
Tennessee, he would. Maybe Houston, depending on how it shakes out. But I think if they Mallett starts.
5 to 10% of the league, he has an opportunity to go somewhere and compete to start.
And maybe Chicago if they move on from Jay Cutler.
But the 25 teams in the National Football League, he would be, his role would be a direct backup.
Well, I think it's interesting. The NFL has kind of spoken, and the two jobs that had the clearest path to being a starter, the Browns and the Bills, have elected for Josh McCown, which was in everybody's book now clearly the number one free agent on the market. 4 teams put offers in on him, and then the Bills trading for Matt Cassel. But I thought it was at least a classy thing from Brian Hoyer to say it's good for both sides to get a fresh start. I believe that it is true. And he'll be moving on, and we'll see where he ends up when free agency opens up this weekend. Now, we talked about the Jets real quickly. Brandon Marshall traded for a fifth-round pick. Now, we have heard Adam Schefter saying that the Browns and Bears at least had some level of discussion about it. Thoughts on that trade?
I am so glad that Brandon Marshall is not in the brown and orange. The guy is now, this is the third team he's been run out of. He's clearly a problem in the locker room. He's not the player he was 3 years ago. And trading for receivers, I'm just not, as you know, to me, wide receiver is way down the line. I did a little research here. It does not take great receivers to win Super Bowls. And good riddance. I'm glad we didn't get him.
Because he's a malcontent, because he's a declining player at 31, then he's carrying, you know, the salary that he is, $7.5 million guaranteed?
All the above.
Well, I was just thinking, if you had to pay $7.5 million to Marshall at this stage in his career, or you may have ultimately had to pay, let's say, $10 million a year to Jeremy Maclin, I'd much rather do that. I think you have much more upside Maclin.
Yeah. Especially for this organization and where it's at in the building process. You want to get a Maclin to be a part of that the next 5 years.
Right.
You know, you get Marshall trending downward, you know, almost
the guy can play still, but yeah.
I know he can. But and that's where, you know, when it comes down to numbers, I mean, would you really hate Brandon Marshall going for, you know, 80 to 90 catches and 1,200 yards in brown and orange?
I'll take the under on 80 catches and 1,200 yards right now.
Okay. In New York?
Yes.
And well,
I mean,
New
that's
York,
just such a typical Jets move because
it is
like
a
you were
total Jets move.
Like you were saying, where we are in our development. Ray Farmer has a plan, he's going to stand by his plan. The Jets, they're not close to winning. All of a sudden, so they're going to go get a guy rather than getting someone younger like a Maclin, like anybody else that could be effective when they're good. They're not going to be good this year. They'll be lucky to be in third place in the division. More than likely, they'll be in fourth place.
And now Percy Harvin will most likely be on his way out of New York.
Percy Harvin will be on his way out of New York. And again, that's somebody that the Browns were reportedly rumored to maybe trade Jordan Cameron for Percy Harvin 1-for-1 last season. That never happened, obviously, but perhaps there's interest there. I just don't know where Percy Harvin fits when you got – not that he wouldn't be – you have Andrew Hawkins here. You can't have so many slot receivers.
No,
you need
you
people
can't.
On the outside for this Cleveland Browns team. Jacoby Jones signing a 2-year deal with the San Diego Chargers, former Baltimore Raven, good kick returner, excellent special teams player, brought one back to the house, if you remember, in their Super Bowl victory over the 49ers. And then the other signing, this one's kind of an under-the-radar signing, which is very interesting to me, is Niles Paul signing up 3 years, $10 million. I thought he could have been a target for the Browns, 50 catches, 500 yards, filling in for Jordan Reed last year. It was kind of that move tight end, but he got locked up without testing the market, which I thought was interesting in Washington.
Yeah, I think that was a solid signing for them. You know, Jordan Reed, everybody kept thinking, yourself included, that he was going to explode, and he just can never stay healthy. And, you know, Niles came in and played real well for them.
Yeah, I think it's a great signing. It's kind of what I talked about yesterday in the fact that you find a guy who – both in himself and his role with that team and maybe his family, you know, being, you know, not wanting to move, that he'll settle for a little bit less money, but the security associated with his job there in Washington and his growing role because of that injury to Jordan Reed, that he likes the situation. So he figured I'd rather knock it out of the way than go, you know, start bouncing around the league and have to move himself and his family. That's a bigger part of it. In some cases, I know Vic Carucci was absolutely right. It comes down to money, money, money. When that money is probably in, you know, a $1 or $2 million range, you'll take security over that money sometimes.
Yeah, I thought that was a good point you made yesterday in that, you know, fans like myself don't think of it like that, that you there's more that goes into it than just what team you're playing for and is it a better chance for the Super Bowl. You know, you have a family like you, for instance, when you're in San Diego. I'm sure your wife loved living in San Diego, and I don't know if your kids were born yet.
Yeah, one of them was.
You know, to uproot your family, especially when your kids start school and those things, people like myself don't really take that into consideration.
No, you're absolutely right. And in most cases, when I get asked, well, why'd you stop playing? It came with the uncertainty associated with free agency. Also, if you recall, right after that Super Bowl in 2011 came the lockout. So it was 6 months of no conversations. Then I would have had to, you know, make a roster. I would have to, and that's the easy thing to say is, I get to get on a plane and go to work, you know, but the strong women get left behind to deal with kids and shipping the cars and shipping belongings. And then you got to think, if I do in fact make a team, it's new schools, new house, new freeways, no friends, new teammates, new playbook, new coaches, you know, all those things. And I'm not crying me a river. You're getting paid a lot of money, you know, in some cases for me, it would have been, you know, veteran minimum, which is, you know, as a 9-year veteran would have been about $900,000. So I'm not complaining. I'm just saying is that weighs into your decision. And in some cases in mine, it was, you know, I worked out to stay in shape, but if it happened, it happened. And if it didn't, you know what? I ended my college career with a championship, and I ended my professional career with a championship, and I'm doing okay. And now I'm here with you guys.
And you're looking good.
Life is good.
You're looking good. Shaved. You look youthful today.
See?
You look like 25 years old.
Maybe absolutely.
You'll get another contract. Get this guy another tryout. You're right, and it's a part of the whole evolution, trades and free agency, decisions to go, why guys will sometimes take a hometown discount. It has to do with family. It has to do with your opportunity to stay and win as well. So there's a lot to think about when you're making these decisions and how it moves out. So perhaps Niles Paul didn't want to test the market, just said, listen, I'm happy in D.C. I'm going to stay here. And that's what he did. I thought he was somebody that I had on my list that he had an opportunity to come here and be kind of that pass-catching tight end.
Who else do you like it as tight end that's free agency?
I love Charles Clay. I think when you heard John DeFilippo talk about this offense, he wants somebody who can line up in line, flexed out, all the way out wide, but also in the backfield, block and maybe even touch the football a little bit. That seems to be Charles Clay to me from what you saw of him in Miami. Now, he's got the transition tag. But when you look at the salary cap structure, if that's somebody that the Browns do want, you look at the way that the salary cap situation is for Miami, it could just be like they did with Hawk last year. You front load the deal a little bit more, make it tough for them, and you can end up getting him.
Especially if Miami, as rumored to be, goes out and spends $60 million on Ndamukong Suh.
Which it sounds like right now they are considered to be the absolute favorites
Miami?
To get him, and that it's, some say, a done deal.
What do you think of that move?
I think it's smart for a guy like Ndamukong Suh because I know the other team in Oakland that was interested in him could pay him that kind of money, but I believe that unless they change something, you go to Oakland to die, you know, your career to die. And I think that although he would fit into that black hole mentality and, you know, in the black and silver and all that hoopla that is Oakland now, I just feel like Miami, and also too, a lot of the reason why some people thought LeBron took his talents down to South Beach is no state tax. That $60 million is a lot stronger without 10% going to the state of Florida. So you figure $60 million, and that's just the guarantee. So it's going to be, you know, well over $100 million. He's going to make, you know, another $6 to $12 million over the course of that contract simply because he's playing in the state of Florida. So, and then also too, I think Miami's just a big market, and just like Buffalo made their power move to dethrone the Patriots in the AFC East, this is Miami's best way to do the same.
But do you like it from Miami's standpoint from a football perspective?
I do. I think, you know, they're a team with Tannehill. I know a disgruntled Mike Wallace who's not willing to take a pay cut. I don't know if Philbin, you know, is going to work. He's kind of a more square-minded coach. So to have a guy who's a penalty-ridden and suspension-ridden guy like Ndamukong Suh, but when management or ownership has their way with a guy and puts their vote in and they pay him the kind of money, I think Philbin at that point just got to accept it.
How was Philbin? Did you have much interaction with him in Green Bay? Or not
I did.
So
it was a lot of it was not so much because we, you know, I came in the middle of the season and we were in the midst of you know, preparation. But in my time with him, he was, again, a very square guy. In most cases, when he talked to me, he was just talking smack about his the Iowa football team that he was an offensive coordinator for in 2002 that I believe went 12-1 and won their bowl game the same year we were undefeated and won a championship. And he said that Iowa could have beat us that year because we didn't play in the Big Ten. And, of course, that went on and on all season long.
I like that. Reggie Wayne will not be back with the Indianapolis Colts. We know Vince Wilfork yesterday looks like won't be back with the Patriots. It's amazing when a guy who kind of is an icon with a franchise like Reggie Wayne certainly is with the Colts just shows you what a business it is. And it also shows you that they feel his skills have declined to the point that they're not even going to give him the Larry Fitzgerald courtesy that you saw with Larry Fitzgerald in Arizona, which is you can still play. We're going to make sure you finish your career here.
He's much older than Larry Fitzgerald.
He is. Sure. You know what I think, though, for both these guys? They're going to go somewhere for 2 to 3 years, make it their last bit of money in the National Football League, and they're going to be just like you said, like we talked to yesterday, Brian Westbrook, you know, retired as an Eagle. You know, LaDainian Tomlinson retired as a Charger. He wasn't, in his mind, done playing, went to New York, you know, went to an AFC championship game, failed under Rex Ryan. His role diminished there, and eventually he hung it up, and he's now, you know, doing what we do at the NFL Network. But ultimately goes back to the team. Reggie Wayne will retire a Colt. I'm sure Vince Wilfork will, again, retire a Patriot as well.
I don't think Reggie Wayne will play next year. I think he'll retire now. Vince Wilfork, I think, will. But that statement that he made was pretty touching. I thought that was, you know, it doesn't always have to end ugly. Like, he understood that it was a business, and he had the utmost respect for Kraft and Belichick and the whole regime, and it just shows that things can be done the right way. And
also, too, is I think, you know, at many points, Vince Wilfork, as I talked yesterday, as I think a caller brought up his name in reference to him coming to Cleveland, Vince Wilfork is a guy, because of his size and what he does, that is a – he plays his role extremely well, and there's only so many teams out there that need a Vince Wilfork, and that's maybe a half a dozen, you know. So that's the market that he's dealing with right now. So he has to be very appreciative of playing as long as he did and make as much money as he did and win as many championships as a part of that Patriot organization, you know, because he can't just bop around the league and make that kind of money and play that same role for anybody.
Certainly cannot. I like Wilfork. He was a great. He was one of those guys. That
I just
was
love
always,
when he gets his when he gets a pick.
Any chance that he would fit here?
I mean, I think he would fit if you look at him at the nose tackle in our 3-4. I think he would fit as that space eater. But again, are you going to pay a guy at that point in his career that kind of money when you could go out and draft a Malcolm Brown or a Danny Shelton or bring in a Kenrick Ellis cheaper?
Do you think he's going to command that much money?
I
think he will.
And the one thing that you guys have to, he might be a fit, but I think. You're talking Vince Wilfork in a 16-game season, if you were here in Cleveland, and Mike Pettine and Jim O'Neill's defense, he's playing 25% of the reps. Right. Because as you saw, we run a lot of fronts. We're not in that base, stagnant front a lot. You got guys moving around. They like the activity level of guys like John Hughes, Phil Taylor, that can move, that aren't just like that big post-up double-team guy. Yes, you need that guy. You do. And that's where... you know, a Malcolm Brown or a Danny Shelton might come into play, but to be a little bit more active because they're a little bit more youthful. But you're going to pay $4-6 million to Vince Wilfork to play 20% of defensive reps? I don't think that fits the Cleveland Browns way.
I actually think he would be a good fit if you did draft one of those guys because, you know, one thing you read about him is as much as Tom Brady was involved in the offensive game planning and was almost a coach on the field for the offense, Vince Wilfork would meet with the defensive coordinator and was very involved with the defensive game planning. He's a pro's pro, and he could maybe teach one of those guys the ropes a little bit.
I'm gonna let you in on some inside Vince Wilfork information.
Yes.
Okay,
love
and
it.
And this is nothing personal. It's just having played the Patriots multiple times with Vince Wilfork at nose tackle. He seemingly every year gets larger and larger, right? In some cases, probably exceeding 400 pounds. And there's multiple techniques that he uses to keep his uniform tucked in his pants. Okay, he has had buttons sewn onto the bottom of his jersey. And onto the inside of his pants, so he has to button his jersey into his pants, right? That's one technique. Another technique that is used that I've seen him use because I've seen his jersey come out, and I've seen other guys as a part of the Chargers, like Tony Finotti, who's another 400-pound guy that I played with, the technique that they use, and they almost make the jersey like a diaper. So they basically cut the legs, like cut the like inlets like the legs, and there's a piece of Velcro on both sides of the jersey in the front and back, and you tape it.
Like a leotard,
you know, in between your legs so that your jersey is essentially strapped onto you simply because at the time that we were playing, and I know the league right now with Roger Goodell is nitpicky on many more things, but one of Paul Tagliabue's biggest things that we were getting fined about was your jersey being tucked in. You know, if your jersey wasn't tucked in, you'd get warned. If it wasn't tucked in again, you'd get a second warning. The third time it was not tucked in, you'd get fined. And Vince Wilfork was consistently getting fined so much money because his jersey kept coming out that they used every technique under the sun to keep his jersey tucked in.
These are the challenges of being a big man in the middle like this.
It is.
You don't get that info on any other show in town.
No, I'm pretty sure you do not.
The diaper jersey.
You know that, and also with a guy like Vince Wilfork, they often have to put the back numbers on the front.
Yes.
So that he has, like, double back numbers because the numbers in the front look too small on a man with his girth.
They do.
Yeah. Just the tricks of the trade out.
Yes.
So I guess you guys don't want Vince Wilfork in Cleveland.
I'd take Vince Wilfork here, but I just don't think that that makes sense. I think you'd rather bring in a Kenrick Ellis. You'd bring in
There's so
a
much
Dan
more
Wimps
bang for your buck out there.
Or you draft. You attack it in the draft. This is a great draft for that position.
So do you think, like, with the amount of money we have salary cap wise, is Sasha Brown sitting in his office saying this much we want to spend on free agents, and then Ray Farmer's coming in and saying, okay, I have this much money? Is it that strategic, or is it they like a player and then they see how it fits into the?
I think it is strategic. They have a certain amount that they are willing to spend and certain positions that they want to spend X at and see who they can fit in there. I mean, could they end up in a bidding war and go over a little bit? Yeah, but I think ultimately that's not something that they want to do very often.
So,
I think they have ideas of who they want to target, what they're willing to pay for that person.
All right, let's forget about what the three of us want. What do you think that they're targeting? Like, if you were to try to put yourself inside the mind of Ray Farmer, what do you think he's going to target in free agency?
I think the Browns will make four moves in free agency. I think you're going to target a good but not overly expensive, not a top defensive tackle. I think you're not going to. I think you're going to target a good but again not the top rush linebacker. So I don't see the Browns going for Jerry Hughes. I think he's going to be priced out of their market.
What about a good but not overly expensive swing guard? You know, guard center guy?
I think this draft has those guys in the third, fourth round.
Okay.
So I think that's where they'll go there. I think, and remember, I think they also want to keep a good balance on this so that they are getting compensatory picks.
True.
So I think one wide receiver and I think a tight end. So I think a tight end, a wide receiver, a defensive tackle, and a rush linebacker, and then they'll attack that during the draft as well. I don't think anybody, and we'll get into this, I'd be surprised if any of our own guys come back other than maybe Miles Austin.
I agree with that 100%. And I know that's one of our hot topics today, and I feel the same way. There's money out there for these guys, and I think the Browns have done diligence on all these guys, and Ray Farmer and his plan don't fit what some of these guys are going to garner on the open market.
Yeah, the interesting one is Buster. I wonder if they've had conversations off the record with Gilbert and feel better about his maturity now than last year. And if so, then it makes sense. Or maybe Pierre Nazir. If you really like one of those guys, as you guys have mentioned before, then you let him go, take the compensatory pick, and roll with those guys.
I've heard Buster's number getting up to almost $10 million at this point.
And he's just not worth it.
No, he's not.
I mean, his effort's great, and his performance, you know, the big receivers, he was burnt toast a couple of times last year.
He was a few times. And listen, I like him, but it's a matter of long-term strategic planning. And
yeah.
if let's just say you're looking at your defensive backfield, you have a big amount of money already locked up in Joe Hayden. I think that their priority in that defensive backfield is to be to lock up Tashaun Gibson. So if you do that and you got Tashaun Gibson there, you've got Dante still at a decent payroll this year. But long-term, you're going to have two big contracts, which will be Gibson and Joe Hayden. So if you can have guys that on their rookie deals in Gilbert and Dazier, that's what you want starting opposite
Absolutely.
Hayden. Anyway, you drafted Gilbert
Make
to be that guy.
Make them earn that by 2017 to get
sure.
that second contract.
You drafted Gilbert to be that guy. So you want to see if he can. Dazier, I think, is waiting in the wings. And you also have K'Wan Williams, who certainly showed he can be a good slot corner at a very reasonable price right there as an undrafted free agent on his rookie deal. So I think that economically speaking, you don't want to have a hugely highly paid corner one, a very expensive corner two, who ultimately you're hoping is your nickel corner anyway,
yeah.
because you want Gilbert to start, and an expensive free safety. You don't want to have that much money tied up in one area. If you look at what the Seattle Seahawks have done, they paid Sherman, they paid Earl Thomas, and Cam Chancellor to some degree, but they keep letting that other corner go.
Yeah.
And now Walter Thurman's gone. Brandon Browner's gone. This
now
year, Byron Maxwell's
going to
go.
Maxwell might end up in Philly.
Right. So that's you can't pay everybody in one area of your defense. So that's why I don't think if Screen's price gets up, I think they like him. I think if his price gets up there, I don't think they have an opportunity to match it. And I don't think they're going to want to match it. I don't think that's what they're going to do.
If you could get him at a $5 million number, which I don't think is going to happen, then you'd keep him. I mean, I like him, and love his effort.
Sure.
He plays like a Brown, so to speak, but if he's going to get that big money, God bless him, he's going to have to get it somewhere else.
That's right.
I think that is right, and I also think that, you know, you got Gilbert spending time with Joe Hayden in the offseason. That can be nothing but good.
But good.
I think
that's
good, a great thing, learning how to be a pro is what he said he had to do in the first year. Obviously, he looked to be in phenomenal condition, but it takes more than being in good shape. There are a lot of guys who are in good shape in the National Football League. It's their job, but you got to be ready to play the game. When we come back, let's go to the phones, 216-578-0850. We'll get your tweets as well. You've been doing a lot of that, tweeting the show. What free agents from the Browns you want back? Also, your free agent targets. It's a free agency frenzy Friday here. Zagura Wilhelm, the kid.
Cool.
ESPN 850 WKNR.